Can you talk a little bit about the spectrum of what you see in terms of dermatologic problems with checkpoint inhibitors? I've heard that minor problems are extremely common. What do you typically see? I assume some of these people have gotten biopsied. I don't know if your patient had got biopsied. Do you see any kind of autoimmune things or inflammatory things or just a bunch of, mess?
Yeah, well, I think our dermatologist did biopsy him. I don't think anything came back on that. In the early checkpoint studies, biopsies were pretty routine, particularly in the combination studies with things like CTLA-4 antibodies. I think the distribution with single-agent checkpoint inhibitors, drugs like PD-1, PD-L1 inhibitors, in general, it's been a mild skin toxicity that's a macular rash that is diffuse, not necessarily limited to a certain part of the body. Kind of reminds us of things we've dealt with before with the EGFR antibodies or the EGFR tyrosine kinase inhibitors in terms of relatively easy to manage with topical steroids, occasionally, steroid shampoos and steroids by mouth as well. The big change for me has been when we have done the combinations, and it's not just CTLA-4 antibodies, but the other combinations seem to have enhanced the severity of these reactions, where now you're getting not like shingles in terms of limited severity, but shingles in terms of this evolution of inflammation leading to scabbing over and being irritating to patients and often scratching and leading to bleeding.
You say shingles as in zoster?
Yet, the thing about shingles is it tends to be limited to, a dermatome. But what's unique about shingles, I think, is that those lesions tend to, be painful, they erupt, and they then eventually crust over. And so I've seen patients with shingles-like toxicities where you get this kind of intense, painful, itchy distribution of lesions that then eventually kind of crust over. It's not shingles, but it looks like that at times. And that's different than what I have ever seen with just the TKIs or the other monoclonal antibody rashes we've seen. I think it's all about catching it early, holding therapy, sometimes stopping altogether. Rash has rarely been a reason I've had to stop immunotherapy for patients with lung cancer, but it happens. In the case we described in small cell, that's a rare case where I've actually had to hold therapy because the skin issues got too bad. I have another gentleman right now, I'm treating a young man, I was 48 with advanced lung cancer when we met, who's doing quite well, but he's on a checkpoint inhibitor now, actually pembrolizumab. But he has baseline psoriasis that was managed with steroids, Enbrel, and he's actually become kind of a close friend. And so we talk a lot about his skin. And I just saw him last Friday, and he says, "David, it's like my skin is on fire. I have this electrical sensation throughout my body." And last Friday, he asked me if he could hold his pembrolizumab because he knows when it gets to a point where it's getting too severe. When you look at his skin, actually you don't see much. On his ankles and on his elbows, you can see some excoriations that are typical of psoriasis. It's just what he feels.
Well, that's really fascinating, disturbing. A couple more words about small cell, and then we can move on. So I don't know if this patient might have possibly had a PD-1 level or tumor mutation burden analysis.
Yeah, we did. So the mutation burden was something minor. It was 12, as I recall. You could argue, well, that's what showed benefit in the 227 non-small cell trial. The more interesting cases I've seen with TMB in response have been quite high TMBs of 115, of 498.
What about the PD-1 level on this patient?
Yeah, I didn't do PD-L1 testing on him. Actually, for the study, it was done centrally, but I don't know the results.
I've heard it said, I don't know how strong the data is, that small cell is often TMB high and PD-1 low. Is that your take?
Well, it's often PD-L1 low, that's correct. I'm not convinced on the TMB story. I mean, we certainly have a number of people who've had high TMBs, but I have not seen enough data to be convinced that this is something you expect for patients. And then what's the cutoff? Is it 10? Is it higher?
Right.
But it may be a more deranged tumor. We were just looking over a number of cases last week of patients who've got great responses, and there are high TMBs, but we're seeing, you see other things too, right? And so you don't know if there's a pattern there or not. Obviously, your RB loss is huge, but not something we expect to correlate with immunotherapy.